This is We Are What We Overcome. This episode has been recorded remotely. What you're about to hear are the ramblings and reflections of four ordinary people, drawing on their own personal and occasionally professional experiences. These conversations are unprepared, subjective, and should not be taken as medical advice or instruction. Anyone seeking help should always carry out their own research, or better yet, speak to a professional about their circumstances. Sit back, enjoy, and remember, it's good to talk.
Hello, and welcome to the We Are What We Overcome podcast. We're three random people, and I don't mean random like we've never met. We're just, that's our personalities. We're a random chat about different aspects of mental health, particularly men's mental health. And appropriately, this month, we're going to chat about Christmas and the leading up to it and what that entails.
We Are What We Overcome on this occasion features musician Matt McGuinness, improviser Nick Tyler, and psychotherapist Wes Evans. Sit back, enjoy, and remember, it's good to talk.
One thing we always do before we get started, which we encourage everyone else to do before they get started, whatever they're getting started at, is to check in to see how you are. And so I'm going to go hand over to Nick and find out how Nick is.
Cool. Hello, Matt. I am quite well. It's been a very busy time. We have tons of work. We have a comedy festival happening at the moment. Our house construction continues. Our house is full of plaster and dust, but we have got like one room left of plaster and the stairs, and then everyone go away for a couple of weeks and come back and nail banisters and skirting boards in. So that is drawing to completion, a mere 14 weeks overdue, which is in no way a source of immense stress and disruption. So yeah, that's absolutely fine. And it, definitely what we wanted to happen. But I just had a night away from everything, which has been really nice. Just spending time with a good friend, just messing about and talking. And that's been really valuable. And so I have returned refreshed, if quite tired. But it's good. I'm in a good place. How about you, Wes?
I'm all right. Refreshed and tired. That's quite a combination. Eh? Yeah, I'm all right. I'm feeling a bit ropey at the minute. I've had the booster jab. Ooh. So kind of got the semi-lurgy, but apart from that, I'm all right. Busy away. I've been doing quite a bit more training in my work, so been doing more of that than previously, which I'm enjoying.
Is that delivering training or receiving training?
Delivering training, yeah. So been asked to deliver more of the training that we do and even have a bit of a look at developing it and adapting it and things, so. Something to get my teeth stuck into.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Nice. How about you, Mr. Matt?
Yeah, I'm good. We did a last of our four previous shows last night, and it went really well. And we met some really nice people, which is always an added bonus. I really like the bit I like about the shows is afterwards, because I get a chance to chat with people, and it's really important that I have that. Everyone else seems to do the clear up, which I feel really bad about in one sense, but in another sense, when I was sat there with a whiskey watching the trolleys go backwards and forwards, I didn't feel that bad.
Well, but I did apologize. Mm-hmm.
So that's, no, I'm just pretending to. I'm not. I think I do enough pre to the event to feel maybe it's because I'm getting old and I'm just knacking myself out beforehand, so everyone recognizes that I probably need to sit down and rest my bones afterwards.
Maybe it's just the whiskey that that has that impact, or just helps you not care either way it works.
I think that's part of the image. They see you sit back with a whiskey and go, well, he's done, isn't he? We get nothing out of him. he's in a corner all night now talking to people. Perfect.
But I think that's fine.
I saw your post with finding a decent chippy as well, which is always a bonus.
We never seem to find that, and Joe and Arlene generally start pretending or making up things or praying to things that don't exist. So please let there be a chip shop, and if you really do exist, make it a Chinese chip shop. And it's only ever happened once. But yeah, small things.
It is. And the quest for things that we need, most of all, like chips, very important.
Got to tell the small things.
Small things are good. Also, big things are also great. ideally wrapped and prepared for your delectation, the thing that you desperately want, or a lovely surprise. Matt, you wanted to talk about Christmas.
Yeah, I was thinking, why indeed? Mm. Well, I spent most of my life trying to put it off because my youngest starts singing, I don't know how you are, Wes, but starts singing from January all the way through to November, Christmas songs. But then I get to a point in November where it starts coming on my mind, whether that be for work or family, or whether that be as in close family, or whether that be for the wider circle of family, and start into this sort of, it's weird, isn't it? It's like one of those things you said before, Nick, you said that you felt tired yet refreshed. Mm. And I think Christmas is a bit like something I'm really looking forward to, but also slightly dreading, you know.
What are you dreading about it?
Well, there's certain rituals in there, and there's certain expectations. And I guess, you know, I don't know about you two, but I guess if I was asked what I would like to do for Christmas, it wouldn't be entirely exactly the same as everybody else in the house. That's probably the place to put it.
What would your Christmas look like? If you hadn't,
I'd just be in this cupboard that I've got.
I in a pantry with a bottle of whiskey and some jam.
Yeah, I was going to say whiskey is probably involved, isn't it?
I guess in another life, I would be wanting to be two doors down from one of the greatest pubs in the world. Christmas Day would start in there about 10:30, and it'd just be a lazy day. Which actually, to be fair to Sam, that's pretty much what happens on Christmas Day. So maybe I shouldn't complain about that. I don't know. I sort of, it's that dividing thing, isn't it, of trying to see some people but not spend your whole time in a car traveling around different places with boxes of presents or whatever it is in the back of it.
That makes a lot of sense to me. We used to do the whole family thing where we'd go to, I don't know, my parents or Maryland's, and we'd be there for like maybe Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, or Christmas Day and Boxing Day, and like maybe a day after that. But like if we go right up north to Maryland's folks, then we're effectively there for a week, and it just got too much. And we have possibly very selfishly, I don't know, I'm not sure how I feel about it, I'm not sure how my family feel about it, we have withdrawn, and so we don't tend to go and see people on those 3 days, really. We'll try and see people somewhere between Christmas and New Year, or before Christmas and New Year, because what we want to do is spend time with people, but like have like a day of chatting and some drinks and some eating. I'm really not fussed about trying to force the activity of everyone being together and doing all the presents and that whole day thing. I find it very tiring and very wearing, and it for me it wasn't producing like the happiness and restful state that I feel we deserve from having had a busy year. And so we've kind of checked out the whole thing, so we have a very quiet Christmas, which is just us at home here with the cats, and we get up like 1 PM or something and fail to do anything of any value, and manage to maybe eat by about 8 and then slope off to bed, having opened some presents. It's very, very slack, but the aim for us is to attempt to refresh and chill. And then we might see friends on Boxing Day, maybe, but we'll see how it goes. What about you, Wes? What do you do over Christmas?
Well, I suppose Christmas has in some senses been revitalized a little bit in recent years with the arrival of my daughter. So she kind of has brought that childlike kind of wonder to it, which is nice. But like you, Matt, when you were saying something about people getting excited about it in January, that's where I kind of draw a line. I think everyone else in my house, I say everyone, my missus and my daughter would start talking about Christmas very soon. I don't tend to get excited about it until, you know, maybe a couple of days before, and I'll get into the spirit of things. So I'm accused of being a bit of a Scrooge, but I'm not. I'm just like saying, it's September. It's not time to think about Christmas yet. So
you're only a bit humbug.
Yeah. But I don't know. I can relate to that kind of mixed feeling about it. On the one hand, there's a lot that I like about Christmas. I like the idea of togetherness and meeting people and all that kind of stuff.
Do you ever get anxious about it, Wes?
I don't get anxious about it as such, I don't think. I know there's probably something to talk about in terms of the expectations thing, isn't there, about kind of kids and presents and putting on the right kind of day and all that kind of stuff. So I think a lot of people can feel that pressure, can't they?
Oh yeah, I mean that's what we've checked out of completely. Not just yeah. our own like requirement to our own sense of maybe we need to do a thing for people, which is a nice thing to do. But we've checked out of other people's expectations that the event that they're doing one will include us.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. We're taking ourselves out of the equation. There's too fewer people to worry about, I hope. And then it's someone else's set of expectations and problems entirely. I have particularly very, very much sliced us out of that loop because it is stressful. Thinking, yeah, I want to be that. I want to be like perky and happy and chatty and all of these things. And it can feel forced for that particular day.
Yeah.
I'd rather feel like that all the time when I see people, not like it has to be on this occasion that we're like on and it's going to be cool and interesting and fun.
I think I'm pretty all right with the kind of social interaction and kind of being switched on element of it. Cause I think when it boils down to it, I actually enjoy that. In terms of getting anxious in the build up and having everything ready and having everything right, I think because my partner is so kind of switched onto it and starts thinking about it way before she probably needs to, it's almost like I don't get a chance to be worried about it because actually it's already kind of being, you know, the ball is rolling.
You're just the moss being gathered.
Yeah, basically. And then I'll get involved along the way kind of thing. Given that, you know, we've a full house anyway, recently we've, you know, Christmas Day is just us and we'll have a few people that might pop in if they want to. And, you know, on the odd occasion, we've hosted my mum and my sister to come over, for example. A good few years back, we went over to them. But in recent years, with one thing and another, be it the pandemic and then also kind of, even things like my mum's working patterns and things like that, we've had pretty simple Christmases in recent years, to be fair. But yeah, I just tend to be pretty relaxed about the whole thing. And I used to buy a lot more presents for kind of the wider circle, and I haven't really done in recent years. I think I just got to the point where I thought, don't really need
to
do all that.
You get to a point, don't you, where you accept the fact that it's not a bad thing not to buy people stuff they don't need or want.
Yeah.
Yes, there is a really like heavy obligation for a long time, isn't there? I've got to buy you a thing because that is what we do on this occasion. Actually, what I want to do is buy you a drink and give you a hug. That's the thing. And with my brother and sister, we've done less and less like buying people stuff for birthdays. This is like the thing that people really want. And you go, look, in theory, we're just going to put whatever money we would have spent towards us all going out for a meal later at some point. And that's quite nice. I quite like,
and the reverse is true as well. I've even said to certain people at certain times, like, don't just get me something for Christmas, for birthdays and things. Like, don't bother getting me kind of that novelty thing or that funny thing. It's just going to become, and this probably sounds a little bit insensitive, but it becomes an object that you don't know what to do with and where to put it.
Well, it gets put in a charity shop where,
naturally. And I'd much rather someone just kind of have some nice words or, like you say, spend some time together. My birthday's in November as well. I think that's probably another thing. It's like, no, we're not thinking about Christmas yet. It's my birthday in November. We think about that first.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, yeah, it is. It's this feeling that it's like the focal point of a year that you're building up to somehow. And some people seem to feel that really intensely. And I find that really odd. I think it's because our birthdays are staggered well throughout the year. Like Mariner's in April, mine's in August. So we have like a thing every 4 months, which is pretty nice.
Makes sense. I mean, mine's on bonfire night. So that's something that's, you know, that lots of people are doing something for generally as well. But in my mind, you can't start thinking about Christmas until after Halloween and bonfire night. Because those things are first.
Funny thing, like some of the trappings of Christmas I really like. I love getting a Christmas tree. I find that a wonderful process, going and getting a tree, putting that, dragging all the stuff out of the loft. I really like that. And I find that very soothing And it feels like I guess that's the thing that, you know, I most remember doing as a kid for Christmas was getting, you know, the plastic tree out and sticking on all the stuff that we've had on the tree for years. I really enjoyed that. I've enjoyed replicating that at home. But on the other hand, there's things like Christmas music appearing in shops, which I absolutely loathe. It makes me crazy. It's like, I don't want to hear the same song. I don't listen to Christmas music, like a bit like the choral stuff. And we've ended up with the H.P. Lovecraft Historical Society, who love the works, the Cosmic Terror works of Lovecraft. They've like redone two albums of Christmas music, but with Cthulhu in it, and yeah, fishmen, and they sound like regular carols until you pay attention to them. Like, oh, this is about, you know, nightmarish creatures from beyond this realm consuming Earth at Christmas. And I kind of like that. I like that slight subversion of it is enough to take away like the sickening sweetness of it all.
Yeah. I think maybe Ava, my daughter, has managed to kind of warm me into things again. I was probably just a bit kind of, it's all right, just blasé about it all, really, and probably did like the party season element to it, and the visiting people, and say, I'm all right for that kind of stuff.
But, who's it?
I think I've been slightly scarred about going to see family. I remember one of the first times I went to see my wife's family, and we got there on Christmas Day, and it was a fairly small house, well, a normal size house, and we walked into the corridor, and I walked into the back room, and the back room was full of relatives, and there was kids on the floor, and there were presents at the back and everywhere, and the one spare chair was in the very far end of the room. And someone said, why didn't he come and sit over here? And I'd never met these people before.
So to walk through it all to get to the chair kind of thing.
Yeah, and I just thought, I'm going to stand on a present or a child or something.
Well, only one of those is worth something.
And then I'm stuck at the end.
Oh, that's horrible. That's like you're included and yet excluded and isolated at exactly the same time.
And you can't say no, can you? You can't say no. I don't want to sit on the one chair that's available.
Yeah, I don't want to sit next to weird Auntie Gillian or whatever. Yeah, no, thank you.
I suppose through one thing and another, the gatherings that I have gone to and been to and all, it's not as kind of grand and large scale as that, and there aren't kind of the, you know, massive collection of people that you wouldn't normally see and all that kind of stuff. So maybe I dodged bullets in that kind of respect. It just tends to be spending time with those that you actually would want to spend time with, so that's all right, you know.
Yeah, we don't have that larger family. You know, it's me, my brother and sister, my mum and my dad, but they're divorced. So it's, yeah, I got divorced parents. So it's always been two Christmases anyway, which was a source of immense awkwardness and weirdness when we were kids. You know, so from, I don't know, 10 onwards, it was an awkward like rotation between Christmas and Boxing Day, where you take some of the things that you've already got to the next house, but not all of them because you're going to get more stuff. And having to be ready to do two Christmases, which initially sound brilliant. Yeah, two Christmases, two sets of stuff, very exciting. Gets tired really fast. Mm. And then you're like, I'm not sure. It's unclear who we're doing it for, because obviously our parents are both doing it, you know, for the kids to give us like that Christmas experience. Obviously they're both trying to do this super hard. And there's a little bit of wear that comes in for like the group of kids. And we've already done all of this. We've already eaten all of these things. We've had the excitement. And after a couple of years, it just got really hard, and it slowly sort of drifted and became, you know, someone would do Christmas or someone else would do New Year. And it's become a lot more chill in recent years about who's doing what and when, possibly in part because of our like, nope, which, yeah, I should really find out how badly that's upset people. But I sort of also don't want to know, because then I might have to do something different. But I felt like that was a sort of catalyst in the whole thing becoming a lot more laid back about who sees who when. The objective now is to see people at some point during December or maybe even early January and spend some quality time together as a time where we know we're definitely going to see people rather than struggling to figure out a time, you know, I'll see you in a month at some point, I guess. This is like a fixed time of the year when we will definitely see people for a bit. And that's a useful scheduling tool, but I'm not sure if it's much more than that anymore.
Yeah, I suppose this speaks to that there's a couple of strands that come off this topic, isn't there? So we've been spending a little bit of time on the whole kind of forcedness and forced socialness of it all, and about our general attitudes towards Christmas. But if you think about Christmas in general, and people and the mental health, you know, there's a few things in there that springs to mind, you know. Mm. So people feeling pressured to kind of put on Christmas, the Christmas that they think the children need and want. And I also know that a lot of people find Christmas really kind of a lonely time and an isolating time, don't they?
Even if you just sit at the back of a room full of weird strangers, you know, that's still...
Well, yeah, still, exactly. Yeah. But, like, you know, so we think about it from the perspective of, you know, people who have a family and are in their little bubble in their unit, but, you know, people that maybe don't have anybody and are alone over Christmas, there's that element of it. What other kind of things spring to mind for you guys about that? Because I'm just thinking about, something else came to mind. I can't think of it, so someone else can have to dive in. But
I think you're right, the element of there is a pressure that if you live with people already, or you're with like a very close-knit family or whatever, because you live quite close to some of your family, don't you, Wes? So you're like in nipping around distance, which is quite different from, yeah, we're a bit further apart, at least, yeah, it's a couple of hours drive to get like the whole family together or whatever. And if you don't have people nearby who want to do that, that must feel very different. And it must be the awareness that everyone else is doing that, because, my God, you've got to do that right now. That is what the entire marketing and commercial drive is for, like, from, well, Easter, basically, isn't it? with a brief hiatus for Halloween, is, you know, this is the time when everyone's going to get together, including you who isn't going to get together with anyone. And that seems so cruel and callous as like a sort of social construct. So it almost feels like it's intended to make people feel bad. And it is
really putting the point, isn't it, where you have to feel in one way. That's the way that you feel. And if you don't feel like that, you know, it's like bar humbug, or it's, you know, you can't get into the festive spirit. Or,
yeah, there is that, yeah, isn't there, about having to, the pressure to kind of feel festive. Like, not everybody's into it, are they? Not everybody's into Christmas. Not everybody feeling festive.
Well, yeah, it's like, yeah, so yeah, what's wrong with you? You don't want to spend 500 quid on presents for people that you barely know and then sit around a table with them and have to cook for like 4 hours to make them happy. Yeah, what's wrong with you? That isn't what you desire. And I say that seems pretty rational. You know, we've talked about introverts and extroverts and, you know, before, and how they're not really separate categories. They're a sort of spectrum thing. But if it's a spectrum, there's going to be a good number of people who are placed on the hell no Christmas end of it. And yet our entire society tells them that they're in the wrong, as we do about so many things. And then not only that they're in the wrong, but make people feel particularly bad for not feeling in the right about it. It's very strange.
I think the thing is with Christmas as well, it's like, you know, the season of goodwill and giving and all that kind of stuff. But anything like that also tends to kind of highlight how grim things are for a lot of people. And there's also that bit of an element of, what about the rest of the year, you know, and all that kind of stuff, if you know what I mean. Just like maybe you would want to kind of appreciate your mum, not just on Mother's Day, and just like you maybe would want to show kind of your partner appreciation, not just on Valentine's Day. It's like the same kind of thing for Christmas, you know. Like
it is a fascinating tokenism. I think you're right. And I suspect it's in the absence of, like, we've lost a lot of our basic social engineering, which we used to have through the church and local organizations and stuff. That stuff doesn't exist. So our social engineering is now sort of driven by commerce and retail towards these activities. And it is a way of going, well, I don't care about people, but I can choose one day a year, I'll pretend to be a person and do person related things instead of having to do it all year round. It's super weird. So yeah, for anyone who doesn't really care, all you have to do is make this token effort, and you're done. You've met like the societal baseline, and if you do it more than that, then you're some kind of superhuman saint. It's
I have the same sort of thing about my anniversary with Sam. I forget the date all the time because it's almost irrelevant to me. You know, it's not.
That's a really good excuse, by the way.
Well, no, but when we got married, so what? You know, maybe yesterday or today or tomorrow is more important than 20 years ago. You know, it's just, I don't know. Just
I think you're right. There is the whole having of Christmas and having of anniversaries is a weird distraction and a way of find it hard to articulate. It's something about like having to only do it once and as a way of attending to it. In theory, it's a way of reminding you that you need to celebrate things. You know, you can look at the upside.
It's a ritual, isn't it? That's supposed to speak to a value that we should hold on to throughout, you know, for always kind of thing.
Mm.
We've always done that, groups of people, haven't we? Like developed rituals that kind of are supposed to kind of point to certain long-standing values and things.
It's like Valentine's Day is a really good example, isn't it? You know, that's the day that you're supposed to tell someone that you love them. That's the day you're supposed to make them a nice dinner or take them out. That's supposed to be the day you're supposed to look after them. What about the other 300 odd days of the year as well?
You don't have to do it. That's why I say you don't have to do it during that time. It's really freeing and liberating. You only need to love someone once in a year, and then you're fine.
And then you can be a knob for the rest of the time and get away with it. So, you know.
Well, I think some people clearly do that. The thing I like most about Valentine's Day is going out for a meal with all the other people going out for a meal. And what you're effectively doing is competing to show how happy you are compared to everyone else, who is the happiest couple that is most in love in that room. And it's great. Some people are really acting up and are doing it performatively, which is fascinating. And then, you know, you might end up being the couple who, like, on that occasion, because... exactly as you say, Matt, it's only one day in the year and you're doing this every day. Yeah, actually, you've worked up to Valentine's Day. Again, this must be a really good day out doing things. And you're like, oh, I'm kind of tired. I don't really want to talk. Let's just have a burger and go home. And that means that you're then the couple in the room that everyone else is like, yeah, better than them. We're happier than they are, and it's a win.
There's an improv arts council application coming along here, isn't there? That'd be amazing.
Probably is. Yeah.
Take over half the restaurant with people who are just pretending and trying to be up the ante and see what happens with everybody else.
But it is, isn't it? But the same will be true at Christmas, you know, and the same will be true with people's photos and social media from Christmas, all of which pile on that additional pressure for people who are not enjoying Christmas or for whom it is difficult in other reasons, because they don't have all that, you know, that constant baba happy faces. What's your face looking in the phone? You know, it turns itself off and you see your reflection. It's mean.
I'm sure that all of these rituals, traditions, whatever else, were originally supposed to be reminders of things that should be the case all of the time, but that was just the time that we particularly highlight that one thing. But what we're speaking about is the big machine that they've become. But I think along with that does come then like this pressure, doesn't there? To do it right, to do it well,
to conform.
For some people to conform or to show others how well you're doing it. I saw a post being shared around, and it was something to do with that parents should make sure that they take credit for some of the really expensive gifts that they give to their children. Instead of saying that it's all from kind of Father Christmas or Santa or whatever, because there'll be some young people that obviously don't get the latest technology thing and will think, well, you know, why didn't Santa Claus bring me that? And just thinking about what we're talking about here and mental health and all of that kind of stuff, it's relevant, isn't it?
I agree. I think the Santa Claus thing is weird anyway. This sort of pretense that someone else breaks into your house at night and gives you all the presents and stuff, and the whole thing's just weird.
A lot of our rituals and traditions are weird, aren't they?
That's true. I think that one's spectacularly odd. I still get stuff from my mum that says from Santa, but clearly I know it's from my mum. Well, I don't. You know what? It comes in the same bag. That's all I'm saying.
We're gonna have to put spoiler alert on this on the description to this.
We will. But I've always thought it's strange. You know, it's pretense. Why would the parents not take credit for what they've done? Why are you encouraging like the affection and the pleasure to be externalized away from the parent that's done the thing?
Because giving is not a selfless act. It's not supposed to be so that you get credit and feel good.
Oh, I like that. In this case, it should all be anonymous. Just all your presents have the labels ripped off them and just chucked into a room and you get some stuff.
You can even call it like Secret Santa or something like that. You know, so that you just don't know who.
It's the one thing for adults and parents to actually get an evening when they can chill out with themselves without being interrupted by the children. And so that's what Santa's about. If you don't go to bed at 9 o'clock, you won't get any presents. That's all it is.
Do you know what? We really are. We're leaning into kind of really shitting on Christmas, aren't we, really, and picking holes at it and stuff. And I want to make it clear, I do actually enjoy it when it boils down to it. There's a lot magical and really nice about it. But the other thing is think about what Santa Claus and Father Christmas paints up. Like, it's, you've got to be a good person. If you don't, you can't be bad. You've got to be good. And it's all about kind of, oh, you know, you won't be getting anything if you carry on this way and stuff like that. I think you need to be careful with stuff like that. You know, that's potentially kind of damaging or sending the wrong kind of message in my eyes. But
I can see that. Yeah, it's social engineering again, isn't it? But yeah, but again, it's externalizing the punishment. I think that's, you know, if you don't do it, it's not me that's doing it. It's not me that's taking your presents away. I haven't taken away your iPad or cuddly toy. That's Santa. And, you know, he sees you when you're sleeping, which is, again...
we're going to be accused of being extreme lefties if you're not careful, you know. And
I was thinking,
only Nick's an extreme lefty. The rest of us are right wing, aren't we?
We should definitely be cancelling Christmas, and like all cancelled celebrities, that just makes it more popular and gives them an even larger platform that they can continue to be wealthy from, despite having been complete bastards.
Christmas, by the way, just for the record. There's loads of good stuff about it. And one of my favourite ones is the whole argument that starts very soon. It just started when everyone says that you're not allowed to call it Christmas anymore. It's Happy Holidays, which obviously no one ever said. It's just a good argument. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. That's what it's all about.
Well, I think the biggest debate is whether you should call Christmas dinner Christmas dinner. Everybody does call it Christmas dinner, don't they? And then there's a whole lunch or dinner thing. Well, it's really about the lunch or dinner kind of debate. And sometimes people use the argument of that you call Christmas dinner as like the ultimate, well, I'm right kind of thing.
Well, it depends what time you're having it, surely. I mean, we don't eat till the evening, so that's got to be definitely dinner or tea time. There's no way we're having lunch.
But you don't call it Christmas tea, do you?
I'd like to now.
I know, I would, because I'm a dinner and tea person, not a lunch and dinner person.
Maybe we should start a campaign. That'd be all right.
Maybe.
We could write letters to our MPs that they can ignore. I mean, and in this case, they should. This would be the first letter that should be ignored by an MP. So, what is this madness? Have we in any way alleviated your vague anxiety about Christmas, Matt?
What is the vague anxiety that you have?
I think for me, it's just I
generally see it first and foremost, besides the, you know, obviously trying to make sure the kids have a good time and stand, just as a really good time to not do anything, because it just feels like it is that one time of the year when everyone's, not everyone's off, but everyone accepts the fact that large numbers of people aren't in work. So no one expects you to answer emails or do this or do that, and you can actually get some time off. And that's fine. And I genuinely enjoy visiting relatives. I just don't want to do one or the other all the time. You know,
you're right. You could easily spend every day from Christmas Eve right the way through to the New Year visiting a different person, and you know, all the time that's involved. So you're basically losing whole days at a time from what in theory sounds like a kind of a chill out time and just relaxing. I feel that very much.
Yeah, I also think I want people to have a good time, and so as though it's just on me, and quite clearly it isn't. But you know, I want people to enjoy themselves. I want people to relax, and you know, you have this sort of vague idea that you want it to be right, or you know, to be in a certain way. I think I just need to chill out of it. I mean, maybe I need to talk to Santa, because he must be pretty chilled. All the hard work they've got to do.
As my understanding, it's elves for most of the year, and then it's
He only works one day a week, a year, even I should say. You know what? I don't know.
Be like Santa. What would Santa do? These are valuable things that we can have as expressions.
Yeah,
I could work with that.
What would Satan do would be better, wouldn't it?
I think he'd be for all of it. He's pleased by the whole thing. He's like, cool, have presents, enjoy yourselves. This is when the bad things, the good things become the same thing. It's a time for indulgence as well as much as a time for sharing and caring. So it feels like you can do all the vices and
you know what, the virtues, you're right,
at the same time.
Yeah, there is that, isn't there? Because everybody kind of has that,
fuck it, it's Christmas. So that's got to be good, hasn't it? It just forces people maybe to just let go of certain things just for a brief amount of time.
Well, you do need that. I think we've mentioned it previously. It's about being given permission to do so, and permission to sit down and to be unleashed, and to happily spend an entire day watching James Bond movies or something. You know, the stuff that you can't or find it difficult to squeeze into life otherwise. But Christmas gives you permission to relax, to unwind, to do things that perhaps you wouldn't do, to indulge in yourself in a way that maybe you don't even get to do on your birthday, because that's probably a work day. And I like that aspect of it.
I think Christmas, on the flip side, just to speak to another point, can also be a time of year that is quite triggering in terms of kind of losses and things like that, can't it? Make you think of certain people that aren't here, or time's gone past, or whatever.
That is true. I think that's a good point, actually.
Seems relevant to bring up, yeah.
And now that you mention it, that makes a lot of sense. I was much less interested in a family Christmas after we began to lose more family members. Mm. So rather than feeling like, oh, we need to do this more, I feel like we need to do it less, because there are, I don't know if that's quite perverse, but there are fewer people. And, the people that, grandparents, things that we would spend Christmas with my uncle, they're not here anymore. And so to continue doing the Christmas feels a bit weird. Maybe I should have done it, but less and less. I want that to be a time of year that's focused on, and I want the time that's
because it's family, a reminder, I suppose.
I think so. But also, it makes me feel that for the future, I don't want a time of year to be focused on the idea of all these people. I'd rather see them at different times. I'd rather that context was spread out, so it's not focused on a time of
not
year
so that would then concentrated on that one day for that day to become an eternal trigger kind of a thing. Yeah,
I don't need that. Yeah, Facebook Memories does that for you. It's a wonderful feature. Here's the worst thing that's ever happened to you. Surprise! You weren't even thinking about this when you woke up at 8 o'clock this morning and checked your phone before going to have a shower. You're like, all right, cool. That's remember when someone died. And this is everywhere, isn't it? It's exactly what it does. It's so weird.
I thought we were in danger of finishing on a positive note then. Well done. Death.
I just thought I'd save that for the back end of things, just in case.
maybe you don't want family's Christmas this time, Nick, because there won't be as many presents every year, and that's why you're actually a very cynical person.
That probably is it. But then you also may just think like death, the ultimate release. So, it all fits very nicely. You can send me down a cheerfully nihilistic and bleak road very easily. I blame Wes entirely.
Yeah.
I think maybe that is the thing about the Christmas, isn't it? There's so much bundled up in it. Yeah, there's the ritual. There is all of the expectations. There's all of our memories of Christmas when, traditionally we have dragged everything together. So a lot of good things happen at Christmas, and therefore many bad things also happen at Christmas. It's a time when everyone, as Matt says, tends to be off work, which gives tons of possibility, plus tons of alcohol for all sorts of shenanigans, good and bad, to kick in. It's a risky and freeing time of year for all of those things.
That's a really good sum up.
One of the things I really like about Christmas, and again, it's pub related, is Christmas Day morning in the pub, because it does feel, not only is everyone in a good mood and, and it's, I suppose, having a drink, you've got a reason to have a drink at 11 o'clock in the morning without looking over your shoulder or something. Not that I do, I'm just saying,
Sure.
But people seem even more open to saying hello to you and how are you and having a conversation because it's Christmas Day, whereas they wouldn't normally be that open. It's almost like you're being allowed on that day to act like a normal human being and to be involved, to talk to another human being in your community. And I love it. And it's a really nice atmosphere.
It would That's be nice, wouldn't it, to be able to let go of some of the pressure and expectation and that kind of stuff, but also just hold on to some of the sentiment of it. Like all year round, I guess.
How do we do that, Wes?
How do we do that, Matt? It's about taking stock for yourself, and is
that not line in Christmas Carol, or at least Muppet's Christmas Carol, about holding Christmas in your heart all year long?
Oh wow!
I think it might be. I mean, I don't know if it's in the Christmas Carol. I'm pretty sure it's in the Muppets one.
I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. was that Michael Caine? Michael Caine that sings that when he's in like a good mood at the end of the Muppets.
Oh my goodness, that is the most wonderful singing performance in a film. It's truly joyous.
All I can say is God bless us, everyone.
Oh, thank you, Tiny Wes.
I think I just threw up.
We're clearly all too cynical for Christmas, except when Christmas catches up with us, and then we're all really happy bunnies.
Yeah.
See, there seems to be that same collection of Christmas songs that has stood the test of time, and is since that cutoff, no one else can make a Christmas song, and none of them stick. Mm. But there's that same core of songs that are spewed out every year, aren't there? But only from that time. You know, it's weird how that happened. And there's some of them that I really hate and that are just make me instantly angry. But there's
we can definitely do that for New Year. I've got a whole bunch that I loathe that are particularly New Year related.
All right, okay. Mm. Yeah. But
yeah, some of them work. Some of them are just, I don't know. There's something about the old crooners doing Christmas songs that is somehow acceptable. I think it's because it doesn't intrude into what I consider to be music that I like. So it's just additional background noise that is tolerable because I'm not judging it, but I'm not assessing it in any way. It's just a noise that's always happened.
It's just is what it is. Yeah,
Like the sound of wrapping paper being torn open. Yeah,
there's a certain time of year that Mariah Carey defrosts and kind of rides out of the casket.
I would not include that in the classics that I want to hear.
it is one of the ones that sticks up every year, though, isn't it?
Oh, my God. I mean, for me, it's going to be Mistletoe and Wine, surely.
No, I hate that one. I hate the other one that says... I hate it. They're just really annoying.
That Mumford and Sons? It will be this year. I bet they cover it.
Yeah. But none of the covers that anybody ever does, they never stick. It's always that core look. Some of those guys and gals make like a fortune off it every year, don't they? Still in the royalties and stuff. It's pretty amazing.
That's great. No, Michael Bublé all the way.
He makes a mint at Christmas, doesn't he?
I just want some really solid jungle and drum and bass for Christmas. That'll sort me out. There are some banging Christmas mixes. I got a mate at work who does a Christmas mix every year of weird tunes and stuff that he's just mashed together. It's very good. Very good. And the closest to like an actual Christmas mix that I would consider listening to.
Of drum and bass music?
No. Some of it's sort of dancing, but a lot of it's weird music that he's found from around the world. There's a glutton for aural entertainment, and so just gathers all of these things and keeps track of it and assembles it into a splendid mixtape. Some of it is Christmas music, other of it's just weird stuff that he's come across. It's very good. I think that's an eclectic Christmas.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. We seemed we were at a natural closing point then when we were starting to do the God Bless Us Everyone quotes and things like that. And I chucked a Christmas music bomb into the mix for a minute. But
that's what Christmas is like.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just doing Christmas and then boom, there's a family war or something.
Yeah. But I guess we're pretty much there with things, aren't we?
Why don't we finish off with a quick one thing that we're all looking forward to over the
That's a nice idea. Weeks. Yeah.
That we wouldn't normally do. You know, something a bit different.
Something we're looking forward to for Christmas, you mean? Or,
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Matt. What about you? Since you suggested
I suppose having said that thing about relatives, one of the things I really like to do is meeting up with my brother-in-law, because whatever situation we're in, he says, should we go to the pub?
It's a great soul answer to a problem, isn't it? I'm going to say I have two. One, I'm super excited about not having construction work going on in our home. That almost
is that guaranteed?
No, shut up, Matt. No,
sorry,
it's not, but it's likely.
Builders don't work at Christmas, so you'll be all right.
That's true. At the very least, they won't be in the house. That's true.
Yes.
I am looking forward to just sitting and watching Looney Tunes cartoons for a morning while attempting to eat breakfast and drinking beer.
Cool. sounds good. I'm looking forward to Christmas Day. Ava in particular, she's kind of at that age now where she really gets it, knows what's going on. She's excited about it. So that'll be really magical just in itself, I think, just seeing how excited she is and things like that. So that'll be nice.
Oh, that's lovely. Okay. Oh, that's perfect. Oh, how lovely. And I believe we meet up next after a pantomime.
During the pantomime, I think.
And, we're not.
Do you know what? How many times are you? But do you so we can all look forward to destroying New Year's Eve in the same way that we've destroyed Christmas. That'd be good.
That is exciting. That is what's, yeah, that is really, what's coming up, folks.
Really shat on it today, haven't we, to be fair?
But in a very positive way, in a very loving way. Much as one, you know, one sort of cheerfully tears down one's best friends. only because we love them. I think that's the same that I feel about Christmas and mocking Christmas.
That's a pretty good way to put it, to be fair, yeah.
Wonderful, guys. Well, I look forward to us talking again. And as ever, if folks have enjoyed this podcast, are interested in talking about it or discussing things that we've brought up, or have many things that we didn't mention at all that are very important to you, we'd like to hear all of those things. Please comment on Facebook and on the internet if you find a place on the internet that seems real. Maybe Yelp would be a great place to put it. I don't know. Send it to us. We'd love to hear about it. And we look forward to talking to you again soon. Until then, look after yourself and everybody else. Exhausted
with some great. If you've been affected by anything that we've talked about tonight, that's cool. We were kind of hoping you would be. If you haven't been affected by anything tonight, then that's great too. You're probably fine. Of course, if you say you're fine, there's a good chance you aren't. So you might also have been affected. And if you've been affected before, you probably will be again. Please talk to someone. It can get better, and together we can survive. We are what we overcome. And this poor little boy, grounded by the sun, paler by his side, but something strives. We are what we overcome. Damn, where's this fucking button? End broadcast. There we go.